Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
And finally on our program tonight, markets and company news. I'm in conversation with Simon Brown from Just One Lap. Simon, let's start with the overall picture. Better day for financials on the JSE. In fact, the entire market up above 90,000 points.
Hey, evening, Jeremy. Yeah, we're having a really good day. There's some consumer and REIT stocks under a bit of pressure, but we should park them to the side because there is a lot of red out there. We've got the banks up, some of them as much as 2% or more. We've got miners moving, particularly the PGM miners are moving. But it is a relatively broad-based rally higher. And there is, a market has been led to, this isn't all-time highs, but we've been at them recently just last week. And it's been driven to a fair degree by gold stocks and financials, but it is a fairly broad-based rally. It's not just those. We've got the SA Incs coming to the party. We've got the telcos. We've got Dis-Chem up. So it is just a sense of sort of buying across the board. And interestingly, it's not foreigners. We're still not seeing massive foreign buying of our market. It is remaining predominantly locals who are buying, and that, of course, the big institutions.
So what do you think is behind this renewed sense of optimism and confidence?
I think there's two things. I think as much as a country we had hoped, that we would have more interest rate cuts, that the two-pot money would do a whole lot better, and that the budget would be a lot more friendly. And that hasn't all necessarily come to fruition, and Eskom occasionally is turning off our lights again. But if we look at where we are as an economy, if we look at where we are as a consumer compared to 1, 2, 3 years ago, certainly in a much better place. And if we contrast that with the massive uncertainty that is brewing in the US, whichever side of the debate you sit around President Trump and his various different actions, the stark reality is it's uncertainty. I can't tell you what tariffs are on the table, which ones are being delayed. I have no idea. And, I'm fairly close to this. That uncertainty makes folks say, well, hang on, we'd like to find some certainty. And South Africa is perhaps one of those places.
And that obviously tells investors, let me get me some gold.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's what we have been seeing. I mean, gold trading above 3,000. Most of our gold miners at or just off their all-time highs. And some of those all-time highs from this is 2007, 2008 run. But it is that uncertainty. And it goes back. I mean, obviously gold was moving long before Trump's second term. It goes back to the war in Ukraine. It goes back to the weaponization of the U.S. dollar. It goes back to central bankers who started sort of moving away from U.S. treasury bills and into more gold as far back as 2018.
Simon, you talk about retail stocks being under a little bit of pressure today. I notice in particular Woolworths down by just under 1.5%, and that's against a backdrop of new numbers out from Stats SA, which tells us that consumer confidence now at a 2-year low. Again, tax and trade fears are coming to the fore again.
Yeah, and I think the tax is a big one. And in truth, the 0.5% on VAT is meaningful. Let's not dismiss that. 2% would have been markedly so. That's the headline number, and VAT is just one of those things which hits every time you try and buy something. There is going to be a little more VAT. It's going to put a little more pressure on your wallet. But the bigger story, of course, was the no change in the tax brackets for the second year in a row, which means we're getting fairly aggressive income drag on those tax brackets, and that is putting a consumer. And I said a moment ago, they're better off than a year ago, but it's still fragile out there. And if we think about household balance sheets, they're still under pressure. They truthfully haven't recovered from the pandemic. They're in a better space, but I don't think we're back at those 2019 levels before, and that is the caution. And we definitely saw that in consumer confidence. Interestingly, we do see consumer spending. We see it in vehicle data, in vehicle sales and the like. So they're spending. And I'm wondering if this confidence isn't maybe sort of just in the last little month or so, where the worries around tariffs and with the US, obviously it's way more than just that. It's our ambassador being sent home. There's a lot happening in that regard. That is just, it stares you in the face.
So a little bit more spending, but perhaps more tactically, maybe a little more judiciously, and people being a lot more careful with what they're choosing to buy and how to prioritize.
I think absolutely. And I think, you know, the consumers, I was going to say South African consumers, but I think that's a disservice to the rest of the world. Consumers are smart. We know what things cost. We know when that's a good deal. We know when we having the wool pulled over our eyes. Consumers absolutely shop smart. And I think we're seeing a lot more of that. When you're feeling more confident, when your wallet is feeling more bulgy, when your bank account is looking more Rockefellerish, we're a little more carefree. We're a little more cautious. As soon as things get tight, we have that ability to sort of adjust our shopping and to make sure that we don't get squeezed quite as much as we could be.
Well, Simon, talking about Rockefellerish and being shop smart, someone certainly in the pound seats in that respect is Pepco, announcing yesterday it's to acquire Legit Swagger Style Boardmans from the privately owned retail group Retailability. What do you think is behind Pepco's thinking in that respect, and what impact on the share price?
So I think what they're really looking for is they're looking to step up more into adult fashion. And I think this makes good sense for them. They've obviously, a couple of years ago, they got their Brazilian acquisition. They've got the likes of Pep Home. They've got what they call the flash business, which is airtime and cell phones, and is a giant business within Pep. And this really is sort of targeting more of that adult market. I think it's a clever move for them. They've been doing it internally. They're now sort of buying in some capacity there at the same time. And I think it's going to work well for them. They've got a great management team. We've seen that from what they've managed to do in the Brazilian deal. The one part of that which was weird to me was Boardmans. I don't know how Boardmans fits into the picture, to be perfectly honest. Yes, they've got Pep Home, but Pep Home is really a different part of the market. Maybe it was one of those buy one, get one free. but the share price has responded. Yesterday was a little sanguine, but today the share price is up again, as we said. So the market liking it, and it's a good management team. And it's not a giant deal that is a risky execution. It's a bite-sized deal for Pepco. If it doesn't work, and there's every reason it should, if it doesn't work, it doesn't, you know, threaten the group as we've seen with some big deals, and in this case, yes, looking at Woolies.
But interestingly, Retailability obviously still seeing some value in the Edgars brand.
Yeah, I did wonder that. And I wondered if maybe Edgars was just not where Pepco sits. You know, Edgars very much a much larger store print in terms of the individual stores, although reduced from obviously the heydays of Edgars, very much department store-ish, stores within stores, perfume counters, and the like, and perhaps also a little too upmarket for Pepco. So either the sellers were like, nope, we still like Edgars, or maybe it was a case of Pepco saying that really isn't our knitting.
And Simon, finally, on your excellent MoneyWeb Now morning program here on MoneyWeb, you spoke today about navigating money market funds amid falling interest rates. Maybe just remind HOT's listeners what the money market fund concept is and the impact of interest rates.
Yeah, so to get a little technical, they hold short-term paper, which means that they're basically holding cash. They'll have bonds and the like, but usually with very short duration, which they're going to be expiring within the year. And we then, as an investor, can go and buy that and essentially get a return, which is kind of like a bank account, except that it gives you typically a better rate than a bank account, which is important. Not a lot. It's not going to be double. It might just be a few percentage points. So you get a better rate. And very importantly, you get the liquidity. Now, your bank will give you a better rate for a 90-day deposit. You could go to the RSA retail savings bonds and lock in for 2, 3, 5, 10 years even. Here, you get a decent rate, and you get it with immediate availability if you need. That's the huge advantage. The reality is that as interest rates come down, it does have an impact. Now, it's not linked to prime, which is the number that we're always looking at, but certainly there is an implication there that you will get slightly lower yields as we see the interest rate environment coming down. Although that obviously has slowed, we're going to get a lot less rate cuts than I think we'd all hoped this year.
Simon Brown from Just One Lap. We'll talk to you again next week. Always appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Always my pleasure.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.